You're listening to the Bread of Life broadcast. This is a ministry of the Acorn Ridge Baptist Church of Robbins, and I'm its pastor, Dr. John Williamson. Our subject today is, how can I know God's special will for my life? How can I know God's special will for my life? The Bible says in Psalm 37, in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That makes perfect sense because of what the Bible teaches us about God. He is a God of justice, righteousness, and holiness, but he is also a God who loves us beyond any comprehension that's possible for us to imagine. His love for us is unfailing, and he has made us with a purpose and plan that is second to none. And when we follow him, he leads us into that divine purpose and plan for our lives. Therefore, we can say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. A good man is one who's believed on Jesus. The Bible tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us, Jesus himself said, there's none good but God. So any goodness I have must come from God. And that happens when I believe on him as my Savior. He takes my sins, he put them on Christ on the cross. And he imputes to me, he puts to me into my account the credit of the Lord Jesus Christ. My debit, my sin debit, goes on his account, and his goodness credit comes to my account. So I become good by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The steps of a good man, a saved man, are ordered by the Lord. Even the steps we take can be ordered by the Lord and directed by him. The verse concludes by saying, and he delighteth in his way. Not only does God delight in our way, but we delight in our way when we're following the steps that God has planned for us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God has a general will for lots of people, but he also has a specialized will, dear friend, for you. And you say, well, I've already missed God's will for my life. I should have done this and I should have done that. Now it's too late. Well, that may be. But God has a special will for you beginning today. Beginning from this moment forward, God has a special will for your life. And it behooves you to get into that will, to come to follow God and to know by experience that blessed will of God for your life. There's nothing like it. He'll give you peace that passes understanding. He'll give you the joy of the Lord. He'll direct your steps. He'll bring you to glory if you will follow him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now I would have you understand that God reveals his will to the humble, sincere seeker. God reveals his will to the humble, sincere seeker. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11:6 says. He does reward, he does reveal, he does respond to those who diligently, that has the idea of sincerely, seek him. Again, in James 4 and in 1 Peter 5 it says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If you're proud of who you are and what you've done, if you're looking to approve or disapprove of God's will, like you're some kind of God yourself, then God's not going to reveal his will to you. You're a fool. You would not use it if he showed it to you. You would be a foolish man wrapped up in your own pride, and you would not humble yourself. God would resist you. But if you'll humble yourself before the Lord, he gives grace to the humble, and he will begin to reveal his will to you. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Most people are too proud. They're too busy building their own little empires to fool with God's grand, eternal, glorious plan for their lives that far exceeds anything they've ever imagined. But they live in their own narrow little world with no real vision. They think they have vision, but they don't. And where there's no vision, no vision from God, the people perish. And so men are perishing today because they have no vision of what God would and could do for them if they would humble themselves before Him. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Well, if you'll humble yourself, the first thing you need to do in accepting God's will or experiencing God's will for your life after you've humbled yourself is to accept Jesus as your Savior. Now, salvation is a gift from God. It's not something we earn. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are we saved through faith. Our very best works could not avail at all to save us. For God's a perfect God and a holy God, and the Bible lets us know that man is a sinner, and that no deeds that we do are acceptable to God. Indeed, he says in Isaiah, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before an absolutely holy God. So there's no good deed you can do to be saved. Salvation is a gift. You say, well, how do I receive this gift? You receive it by believing, trusting, depending on Jesus Christ, who died in your place at Calvary, by depending on Him and only Him to save you from your sin. Will you trust Him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul told the Philippian jailer. Believe, rely, trust, depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved you, the one who came to earth for you, the one who died in your place, the one who took your sins upon Him and paid your sin debt at the cross of Calvary. If you will accept Him, rely on Him, depend on Him as your personal Savior, He will save you today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, said Paul, and thou shalt be saved. Not you might be. We hope you will be. You'll be saved if you can hang on to it or add your good works to it. He didn't say you'll be saved if you get baptized and if you're a very nice person. He didn't say you'll be saved if a lot of people pray for you. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Until you do that, you cannot understand God's will for your life. For Paul said to the Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to be born from above. You have to have the Holy Spirit in your heart in order to be able to understand spiritual things, and God's will is a spiritual thing. It's something revealed by God's Spirit. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior, or are you still a natural man? Have you trusted Jesus alone to take away your sins? This is what you need to do. Humble yourself, accept Jesus as your Savior. Then, after you've received Him as your Savior, if you want to know His plan for your life, you need to submit to Him as the Lord of your life, the Master of your life. Now, some people preach that when you receive Him as Savior, you must also receive Him as the Master of your life. Certainly, you must believe that He is the Master, that He's God that created the world, that made you. But when we decide to give ourselves to God in service, that's a separate thing from our salvation. Paul wrote to the Romans who were saved, I beseech you therefore, brethren, they were already saved, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we present ourselves to God and say, Lord, I will do your will. I will be your servant. I'll follow you wherever you lead me. That's submitting to Jesus as the Lord of your life. And you submit to Jesus not because you have to. Paul said, I beseech you. He comes alongside and he begs us to do it. We don't have to do it. But we do it because we love him. Remember when the Lord was talking to Peter after Peter had denied the Lord, and later, the risen Lord was by the Sea of Galilee and appeared to Peter and the disciples. Three times the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter would answer in the affirmative. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Our motive for serving God, our motive for submitting to Him as our Lord and Master is not fear. Our motive for serving Him and submitting to Him is love. Jesus turned to the disciples one time and said, will you also go away? And Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Will you present your body to God and say, here I am, Lord. Use my hands, my feet, my mouth, my ears, my eyes, my tongue, my mind, everything I have. Use me, Lord, to do your will. I submit to you and to your will for my life. So humble yourself and accept Jesus as Savior. Humble yourself and submit to Jesus as the Lord of your life because you love Him. Number three, if you would know God's special will for your life, you need to obey His clear leading now. In other words, get moving. You can't steer a car that's not moving. You need to get moving doing the things that you already know to be God's will for your life. As you do that, you know that you need to be in church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And not just any church, a church that preaches the Word of God and teaches the Word of God. A church that is interested in ministering for the glory of God to people who are lost and in sin. My friend, are you faithful in church? That's God's will for your life. You don't have to even pray about that. We're to be in the house of the Lord. You need to be baptized if you're saved. And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Baptism identifies us with Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And it identifies us with those others who have believed on Jesus. And baptism is a mark of submission and obedience to God. You need to be baptized. You need to be in church. You need to be reading the Word of God. Search the Scriptures, Jesus said. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need to be reading the Word of God. You say, well, there are lots of places in there I don't understand. That's the way it is with all of us, especially when we first started. But it's not what you don't understand that's the biggest problem. It's what you do understand. And as you read, God will show you the things you need to know. You need to be in His Word. You need to be praying in everything by prayer, the Scriptures say. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, Jesus said. These are things that are the will of God. Again, be a witness. Tell others that you've been saved and tell them as best you know how you got saved. When the opportunity presents itself, give a witness. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. These are things that are the will of God for your life. You need to get busy doing those things. And when you get moving doing what you know to be the clear leading of God, God will direct you further into His special will for you. Listen to Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, it names them, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them forth. Now the church here had teachers, workers, who were working in the church, and among them was Paul and Barnabas. But God had another ministry for them, a special ministry for them, but He didn't reveal that to them and to the church. They were to be missionaries going from country to country, spreading the gospel. That was God's special will for them. God didn't reveal that until they were busy doing what they knew they should be doing for God. In other words, if you're not doing what you know is God's will, reading the Word, praying, being in church, baptized, trying to be a witness for Christ, if you're not doing that, don't expect God to reveal more of His will to you. Obey His clear leading and He will give you more light, more of His special will for your life. Number four, if you would know God's special will for your life, seek submissively that special will. Seek it submissively. Ye have not because ye ask not, said James. We need to pray. God, show me your will. In everything by prayer. He giveth grace to the humble. We've already touched on that verse. Humbly pray. Humbly consider His word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Pray, look in the word of God, seek godly counsel. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Seek godly counsel. As you seek God's will in prayer, in the word, and in godly counsel, God will help you come to a knowledge of His will. The church recognized in Paul and Barnabas a special ability and a special calling, and they laid their hands on him, them recognizing officially this call from God and giving them authority as representatives of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to go forth and exercise their gifts to the glory of God and accomplish God's special will for their lives. Now, not every calling and special will of God for your life or mine needs to involve a church ordination service. But the church, others who are godly, should give us wise counsel and see in us that God is indeed leading us in a special way in our lives. Number five, as we humbly accept Jesus as our Savior, submit to Him as Lord, obey His clear leading, and seek submissively His specialized will through His word and prayer and wise counsel, we need to expect Him to guide and direct our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and He will guide us through His providence. Sometimes we have no control, no thought of what God is doing, and yet He does it for us anyway. Ruth went out to glean in the field to find food for she and Naomi, her mother-in-law, to eat. And the Bible says it just happened that she lit on the field, she stopped in the field to glean the part of the field that belonged to Boaz. Boaz was God's choice as her future husband. They would have a son named Obed, who would have a son named Jesse, who would have a son named David. All of this was God's plan and His will for Ruth. And as she was going about her business with a humble seeking heart, God in His providence led her right into the center of His special will for her. Through the principles of God's word and the prodding of God's Spirit and the providence of God, you can expect God to guide your steps into His special will. Then, after you're in His will, let God search your heart regularly. The psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, try me and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Sometimes I wear glasses. Sometimes these glasses become dirty and I don't realize it. Perhaps I'm working with some power equipment and fine sawdust settles on my glasses. Or I'm doing something outside that's dusty, working in the yard, and a fine dust settles on my glasses. And it's so gradual that I don't realize my glasses are dirty. It's so gradual and so uniform that it happens, and I think my glasses are clean and clear, but they're not. And so from time to time, I need to stop and look at those glasses, inspect them, and clean them off. Well, we need to do the same thing with our heart, and we need to say, "God, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me." Sometimes we can't see God's will because our spiritual glasses are dirty. We need to let God search our hearts. So regularly let God search your heart to reveal sin, to remind you of His past dealings, and to give you new insights into His will and His word and His special will for your life. Finally, learn to rest in the Lord and in His faithfulness. Don't worry and fret. You've come to God. You've humbled yourself. You've accepted Him as Savior. You're submitted to Him as Lord. You're obeying His clear leading, the things you know He wants you to do. You're seeking submissively His will. You're willing to do it, whatever it is. And through His word and prayer and godly counsel, you're seeking God's will. You're expecting Him to guide and direct your steps. And you're letting Him search your heart to reveal things that shouldn't be there, that are a hindrance to you knowing His will. Well, if you're doing these things, you can rest. Rest in His faithfulness. But James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, maybe it's God's will, maybe it's not. I don't know if God's leading. I don't know if He's not leading. And back and forth and up and down and creating needless doubt. God will not let the submissive heart miss His will. Let me say that again. God will not allow the submissive heart to miss His will. Just be sure your heart is submissive to God. Until this time next week, this is Dr. Williamson reminding you that Jesus has said, I am the bread of life.